Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
On the hour.
Great music. Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 17th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello, I'm so excited. I'm back.
Hello, Joe. I haven't seen you for ages and ages and ages.
I know. I have been in this studio, though.
I know you have. You've been moonlighting for another show.
I know.
How very dare you?
I know. Well, he asked. You didn't ask for a long time. Well, actually, you did ask, but you just used to ask me at the last minute, and then I couldn't come.
And you go, no. You go,
far too busy.
Speak to my agent. I'm already fully booked on other more professional shows. But you know, it's really funny as well. I shouldn't say this, but somebody tweeted earlier, while I was coming over to collect you, and somebody tweeted, I'm listening to Paul Andrews on Kent Business Radio. No, you're not. I'm driving the car. And I suddenly realised that they were actually listening to the repeat of Money Talk, which is on at 11 o'clock this morning. So the fact that you were here, you see, your fan base thought, they must mean Joe Dodds on the Money Talk show. She wouldn't be on that Business Bunker nonsense. So there you go.
But I am. I'm back.
She's back.
I'm back.
And absolutely brilliant it is to have you back too.
Yes.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
Ah, right. A few thank yous. I'd like to say a massive thank you and give you some updates as well. We have a new partner. We have a renewed partner on the Business Bunker show, and we have some new features on the website. So let me run through those. A big, big welcome and thank you to our new partner, which is Best Business Events, and Business Events that they run throughout Kent and soon to be further afield. But they are responsible for the B2B Kent series. They're responsible for the Construction Expo, for the Women in Business lunches, for Digital in Kent, and a whole range of different events, seminars, workshops and conferences that are staged around the year. And you can find out all about those by going to one of the new pages on the Kent Business Radio website. We have a whole page called Business Events, and all of these events will be listed there, updated there, and there will be links there for you to book your tickets and book your places and book your stands and find out all about it. So a massive thank you to Carol and the team, Carol Penny, Anna, and the whole team at Best Business Events for partnering with the Business Bunker Show. And we look forward to having lots and lots of fun with them over the coming year. We've also renewed our partnership with the lovely folks at Supply My Business, and they have a new page up on the Kent Business Radio website as well, called SMB on the top tab there. And again, you will find information about Supply My Business there. There will be intros to blogs and all kinds of other things that we'll be putting up there over the coming days, weeks and months. So do check those out. Some changes to the Kent Business Radio website. However, as always, we'd actually love to hear from you, the businesses out there in Southeast England and further afield. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And please use the hashtag #BeBunker if you would be so kind. Thank you.
You see, I remember when I used to come on here, we used to have little issues with a Twitter, didn't we? Mm. Where I would read tweets a few ahead of you and then you'd get confused.
You'd read from the top of the queue and I'd read from the bottom of the queue.
But now there are so many tweets that actually
it doesn't matter.
Can't actually keep up anyway. So.
No, it doesn't matter. We don't even remember if we've already read them three times.
No. So listeners, you have to tweet really interesting tweets to catch our eye.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And then we can compete to read out the best tweet, can't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll tell you what. No, I'm going to do something different. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to read the first tweet, but I'm going to read an email because I kind of like this, and I told them I'd do it early so they could listen because these guys are still at school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they listening?
No, they can't. That's the problem. So what I've said is I'll tweet them a link so they can listen again later. So I'm doing it early in the show so they don't have to put up with the rest of the waffle.
Yeah, good basically. Thinking.
Good thinking. That was really good thinking, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I had this email, and it's from a company called Capital Clothing. And they say, hello, Paul. We are called Capital Clothing, and we're a company that's run by 4 16-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We were 16 and 17-year-olds. We were part of the Young Enterprise Scheme, and we won the Northeast Company of the Year and the Best Company Report.
Wow.
And now we've finished Young Enterprise, we're carrying on with the business in the real world. We've already started getting many orders through and are growing. We feel very proud of what we've achieved in only a few months, and who knows what the future holds. We just really wanted to get the word out about our company, and if you wouldn't mind reading this on your radio show, that would be brilliant. You might even know people who might require our services. Well, quite true. Hope to hear from you. And that's with big thanks from all the folks at Capital Clothing. Now, I happen to know they came down to Kent, which is probably where they heard about the show, because they took part in the Kent finals over in Medway, and they did some work there. You can find out more about these young folks just starting out with their first business, which is absolutely brilliant and very well done to them, by following them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Capital Clothing 1. Now, this will only mean anything to you if you ever listen to Steve Wright in the afternoon. It's Capital Clothing without a G. Like, jocking? Have you ever listened to
Steve? No, well, I did in the olden days.
Oh, no. Right now, Steve Wright does a thing about jocking without the G. So anyway, that fell flat, didn't it? Their Twitter handle.
Well, not to the listeners, just to the co-presenter.
What is he talking about? Their Twitter handle is Capital Clothing without the G at the end, but with the number one as a digit.
Yes.
So Capital Clothing number one. Do give them a follow on the Twitter. And massive well done to you guys for taking part in Young Enterprise, for winning two awards in Young Enterprise, but more than that, for taking the business into the real world and continuing with it. That is fantastic. Well done.
And aren't they talking to two ambassadors, advocates for Young Enterprise here? You're on the board somewhere, aren't you? As am I.
I'm the chairman of judges of South Kent. Yeah.
And I'm a Dover board member.
Exactly. So there you go. Exactly. We're all young enterprise up here.
Exactly. We are.
It's a great scheme, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a little rant. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a little rant. At the Kent finals last year, not this year, last year, there were, I think, 12 schools in total that took part,
mm-hmm.
which isn't remotely enough.
No.
Come on, schools. You've really got to get into this. It costs £25. I mean, it is not a big deal. And it is such a useful thing.
And I don't know about the other areas, but in our area, we find it's the independent schools and the grammar schools really that get involved. But for us, what was great this year is that the school that won was Astor, the Arts College in Dover,
okay.
with an absolutely innovative product, and they did such a good job, and it was really good because
fantastic.
You know, they're the only school that isn't independent or a grammar school, and you know, it's just, it offers so much for so many people, and it's just a shame that some schools just don't.
Yeah.
You know, they're not interested, as you say. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The school that won in my area, that in my judging area, was Highworth Grammar School from Ashford, a firm called Green Shots, run by Ben and Alison, the team. Well done, guys.
They won over Astor because that was in the same final.
They won the South East, and they went on and won the Kent final, didn't they? So they're now in the South East final. It's all happening on the young enterprise scene here. It's making me feel old.
It made me feel good because I'm eyeing up that school for little Dodsey, so I was quite pleased to see that they do Young Enterprise very well.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And all you schools out there, if anyone's listening, or if you're a parent and you've got access, or a parent governor or whatever, Young Enterprise, get involved. It is so useful. It's far more useful than your GCSEs and all that nonsense.
He says I'm in
another... Did I just say something controversial?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Shall we move on?
GCSEs.
Sorry, the children... No, I was going to say the children won't be listening, but those ones will be. But they'll have done
absolutely.
Their exams.
But they've done theirs now, yeah. GCSE Latin. Who don't need, you know, don't need that, do we? Cool. Do you want to go with a tweet, Joe?
Yes, I have one that was put out a couple of hours ago. One that was made earlier, yeah. Here's one we prepared earlier from... I was going to say their Twitter ID, but I'm just checking what they're actually called, but I can't quickly. But, oh, no, they are. Their logo, Number 4 Furniture.
Right.
They say, could you mention that I make repurposed furniture, bespoke and made to measure, in Kent and Sussex? So if it's repurposed, that means it is already furniture, but it's being used for something else, does it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But bespoke and made to measure make it sound like it's been from scratch.
Yeah, they cut the legs off. It was a chair. It's now a coffee table. That kind of thing. I guess.
Yeah, that's probably it. If it isn't Number 4 Furniture, please do let us know. Otherwise, we might be misrepresenting you.
Yeah, I could do a political joke about that as well.
Maybe not a good plan.
No, probably not. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Go on then.
I don't know if you saw Natalie Bennett has announced that she's stepping down as leader of the Green Party.
No.
So somebody, some wag yesterday tweeted, does that mean they're going to recycle the leader and bring back an old one? Is fair enough, isn't it, really?
It's quite good. Yeah.
I've had a tweet from DDHG. DDHG14, in fact. DDH is the Dimchurch and Dungeness Heritage Group, I think, if I remember rightly.
DDHG.
They're a local society.
Yeah, okay.
And they've said, Paul, Mad Jack Fuller. Ooh. Mm. Is this a threat? Is that Jack the Hat McVitie and the Cray Gang? Mad Jack Fuller is a talk by Jeff Hutchinson, and it's going to be taking place at the Methodist Church on Thursday the 19th of May at 7:30 p.m.
It must be a smuggler.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think so. Because the whole
not an East End gang.
Not an East End gangland. burial at sea. Yeah. No, sorry. I think you're right. It's probably a Romney Marsh smuggler thing, because the whole Dr. Sin spiel's about to unfold down here again as well.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so that's on the 19th of May at 7:30 p.m. in Romney Marsh. So, Mad Jack Fuller, a talk.
Yes.
Blimey.
Cool.
I might go to that, actually. It sounds interesting. Yeah. we've also had a tweet from, where's it gone? PWOS, PWOS underscore AmDram on the Twitter. And that's the Paddock Wood Operatic Society. Apparently, and they say Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, the Petswood Operatic Society perform alongside West End Stars at West End Gold on the 12th of June at the Stag Theatre, Sevenoaks.
Sounds good.
So do check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still getting involved? No, you were choral and choirs rather than opera.
Yes, I was thinking I should promote our next concert, actually.
You should do, really, shouldn't you?
I can't quite entirely remember the date. It's something like the 25th of June, if that's a Saturday, at St Leonard's.
This is top advertising.
It is, isn't it? Well,
Joe,
I wasn't prepared. You just threw that in.
I threw
and
that
I was
at
going
you.
To prepare for it.
Come on,
in
you should
a bit.
Know this stuff.
But I'll look it up now as we speak on my phone. It's the 25th, I was right. 25th of June at 7:30 at St Leonard's Church. And we're singing Petite Messe Solennelle by Rossini.
Are you, indeed?
I, for a minute, couldn't remember who composed it.
I know all the words to that.
It's quite impressive. So,
Is it big orchestral stuff? Is it big
no,
oof?
It's not big oof, but it is quite, it's got complicated choruses and things that are quite rousing. So, it's good. I do recommend it.
Fantastic. And that's at St Leonard's?
St Leonard's Church in Hythe.
In Hythe.
Yeah.
On the 25th
of
June.
7:30.
So do get along to that.
Yeah, you get tickets, I think, on the door, and you can get them from... the music shop in Hythe,
Cool.
whose name I can't remember again, because I haven't prepared this bit. Brandon's, that's it.
Well done. I'm going to have to think of something else to trip her up with now. She remembered all that. I'll get her a listener, don't you worry. I'll get her stalling over something. We've had a tweet from Dialer Brain, and they say, we still need votes in there. Dialer Brain, if you remember, if you're a regular listener, have been trying to garner votes from us for their online consulting platform, where you can earn money as a consultant, expert, or specialist in a field. And they're trying to garner votes in the Richard Branson Voom competition, and they still need some votes as they head towards the final week. And you can vote for them by going to vmbvoom.com/pitches/dialerbrain. So do that, or follow Dialer Brain. Does what it says on the tin, Dialer Brain, all one word. Follow them on the Twitter and find the link there and tweet it in.
The URLs don't get any easier, do they?
No. Matt Lipnick has tweeted, and he says, hi, Paul, could we have a mention, please? We're Chalk Circle. We're cloud and security consultants. You can email us at info@chalk-circle.com. info@chalk-circle.com. So do check that out.
I've just had a flashback. Does Piperous still listen to the radio show?
Does who?
Piperous.
Occasionally, you know what he's like. Since he got married and the lovely Amy started taking care of him and mopping his brow, he just lays about all the time now and doesn't do a lot at all, really.
Well, I was at a wedding.
So if he is listening, he can tweet in and complain about what I just said. And if he wasn't, tough.
Yeah, well, I was at a wedding at the weekend on the marsh, and I met somebody, and we got connected on Facebook afterwards, and he is a mutual friend.
Oh, okay.
So that was our one connection. So right. It reminded me of him, and I said, oh, well, he listens to the radio show.
I haven't seen Pepperus for a while because they moved out of the centre of Canterbury from an office point of view to Hursley, to the Enterprise Park at Hursley on the outskirts of Canterbury.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Pepperus, if you're listening, I met Ed Oliver on Saturday, who's a very good wood turner.
Blimey. Mm-hmm. There you go. Good stuff. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Go on then, tell me.
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Cheesy tunage, lovely.
Some cheesy tunage in homage and celebration to Simon, who's an up-and-coming guest. So have a listen to this. Whatever. Have a listen to this.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes. When you take, you gotta give. So live, let live, or let go. Oh, 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 I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while and let's be
RIFT Research and Development, reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTresearch.com.
Jobsinkent.com. Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 17th of May with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds. Blimey, sorry about that, Simon. Bit of
I liked it. Did you like it? Old sing, yeah.
Were you?
I haven't listened to that for ages.
I'd point out, see, there's a lot of stuff on my hi-fi and my music, but Gillian would tell you it wouldn't be that one.
Really? Really? You haven't got that on your listen again? Blimey.
I don't know the song. Sorry.
He's obviously deprived.
He's obviously much younger than me. But you know the song and you're even younger.
Well, yeah. So, I'm not sure what that means.
Extremely well preserved.
Cool. I'll tell you what, Joe, we'll do another email and a couple of tweets and then we will talk full-blown to Simon.
Okay, shall I do this email?
Yeah.
Because this one's very exciting and I'm very excited about this.
Exciting.
It is. Alage Jones is hosting the Leeds Classical Concert.
Like me.
I know. So it's on Saturday the 9th of July. I will be there. Come and say hello.
Will you? What, with Alage?
Have you ever tried to find anyone there? Well, yeah. No, I won't be with Alage at all. Oh, obviously, right. I'll be in the throng. Well, have you ever tried to find people in that place?
Well, what you need to do is stand behind Alage now, isn't it? Yes. If you stand behind him and photobomb him, then everyone will find you.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Now, I go and try and find the lovely Penny Williams each year, and there's very little mobile reception there, so it's quite difficult to pinpoint exactly where they are amongst the crowd. But true. There we go. So it's on the 9th of July, and Heritage Events, the organiser of the Leeds Classical Concert, Leeds Castle even, don't send people to Leeds, the Leeds Castle Classical Concert, said, "We're thrilled that Alad can host this year's concert. He brings his unique personality as a presenter to this iconic Kent event, and we're honoured he's agreed to join us. Held in the most spectacular location, a natural amphitheatre in front of the beautiful Leeds Castle. The concert this year not only features so many popular classics that audiences have come to associate with the event, but also enjoys the addition of some of John Williams' most iconic film themes. Visual delights will include field guns, a Spitfire display and firework finale to ensure a jam-packed summer's afternoon and evening." We love it. Little Dodsy particularly loves it, waving her flag and flashing lights. And
singing along.
Exactly. We don't like the flying chickens, or I don't. Ellie does, but I don't.
You don't like the flying chickens?
No, flying chickens not good. Not very good health and safety.
Oh, you can tell she's got her HR hat on now, can't you, Simon? Oh, health and safety. Oh, health and safety. You can't do that. Stop that right now.
Well, quite often they knock your wine over, don't they?
Oh, that'll be it. That'll be it. You don't care what it is. We've had a tweet from the Grain Store Studio. And they say, "Hi, Business Bunker, could we get a shout-out, please? We are looking for artisan food traders on Sunday, June the 26th, July the 31st and August the 28th. Anybody that's interested, could they email me, nick14berry, nick14berry at gmail.com.
Didn't he used to be on EastEnders?
He did indeed, and Heartbeat.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't think it's that Nick Berry.
No, probably a different one.
But, which is why he's got 14 in the middle of his name, because if it was that Nick Berry, he'd probably get away with just being Nick Berry, wouldn't he? But it's nick14berry at gmail.com. So if you're an artisan food trader and you'd like to find out more about what the Grain Store Studio have in mind for you in June, July and August, do give Nick an email.
Lovely. Can I do a tweet as well?
Yeah, go on.
Somebody tweeted me particularly, which is why it's getting read out.
Oh, this is a personal tweet, is
no,
it?
No, it did have the hashtag. They did follow the rules and it had yours on there as well. Mm. But because not many of them were coming directly to me, I thought I'd give them
a
chance.
Yeah, no, you can go for it.
So, yeah, their Twitter name is ecommerce_Kent. Good one to have, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. The Workroom. And they say, "Can we have a shout out, please? We're an e-commerce marketing and web development agency based in Kent."
Oh, great.
So there you go.
Thank you for that.
Done.
I'm going to read one email and then we're going to talk to Simon. Okay. Now, some of you that are regular listeners to the Business Bunker Show may remember some time ago we introduced to you a startup company that was planning to provide cakes on the same basis as Interflora, the flower people.
Mm.
So basically, if you lived in Hythe and your granny lived in Manchester and you wanted to send her a birthday cake or, you know, some muffins or whatever, what you do is you can go onto the website, you can order them, and they'll be baked locally and delivered locally, and the website kind of does all of that.
Brilliant.
And it's all ready to rock and roll.
That's very exciting.
An edible alternative to sending flowers. Introducing Mum's Baked Cakes. Okay. Revolutionising the way we say thank you, sorry, congratulations and everything in between. We say it with flowers. Why say it with flowers when you can send a cake? So there's all kinds of different cakes in all parts of the country. Our bakers would appreciate your support by sharing with other people up and down the country. And you can find out all about what this fabulous idea does by going to their website, which is www.mumsbakecakes.co.uk. Mumsbakecakes.co.uk. So the idea is that artisan home producers make the cakes locally, zip them round to where you've ordered them for. Mm-hmm. Happy days.
So they are artisan home producers as opposed to, you know, mum up the road who can't really bake.
Yeah, on the
that's
whole.
That's encouraging. That's good to know.
On the whole, they're reasonable bakers. On the whole, I suspect.
Otherwise, it wouldn't really
work a great deal, or not for very long. Anyway,
exactly.
Yeah. Lovely. I just got this box of mush. Yeah, got some crumbs for my birthday. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Mumswhobake.co.uk.
Yeah, Mum's Baked Cakes.
Oh, sorry, Mum's Bake.
Mumswhobake.co.uk.
Okay, bro.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show our first guest of the day today, Mr. Simon Pollard of Simple Life. Simon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you for finding us eventually. We sent you across the marsh, I know.
No, coming across the marsh was an absolute pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I've been coming through the marsh down to Dungeness for probably the best part of 10 years, and I know the roads so well because I've got lost so many times here that I now never get lost.
I know the feeling because I still get lost and I come down here every week. Just before we start, I need to clear something up because we had a tweet earlier. Are you ready for this, Joe? Because you Googled this.
Oh, no, I don't know if I am. Okay, go on then.
You go and find that again.
He's trying to catch me out again, isn't he?
Yeah, I'll set it up while you go back and find it. A regular listener to the show, Chris, from Chameleon Logics, asked a question earlier and showed us a photograph of a plant he's having problems with. Now, that isn't Simon's field of expertise. He works with other people that deal with plants and stuff. And the thing was, in the tweet, is Chris has got a lemon tree that when he moves it outside, it tends to die. I'm paraphrasing a bit here. And he showed us a picture of the leaves. Yeah, it was a long tweet. Yeah. He showed us a picture of the leaves. But and we did say to Simon, what about this? And he went, well, I don't know. I don't do plants.
He does do plants.
Yeah, he does, but not in that way. We'll find out what Simon does in a moment.
It's not lemons.
It's not lemons, yeah. He won't touch lemons. That's yet. What it is. But we got an answer anyway, didn't we?
Well, I just went to, you know, Google.
Yeah, yeah. Never heard of it.
And according to Google, it might not be good news because it could be citrus canker, which is not good news
for it at all. Chris, you got citrus canker, mate.
It says yellow halo-like lesions on fruit, leaves and twigs. So yeah. if that's what the picture like on the leaf. But
yeah.
Of course, it may be one of many lemon tree diseases because there are lots, apparently. But so I would suggest having a look and not taking our word for it. But it could be that.
But he could have lemon canker.
Yes, he could have, which is a lovely word.
What's the prognosis of lemon canker?
Well, it's not good.
I don't think
the tree survives in the end. Canker's not good. No.
It's not good, Chris. No. It's not good.
I wouldn't have thought any kind of canker was good.
No, it doesn't sound good, does it?
Yeah. No. Lemon canker, orange canker.
Yeah, yeah.
Any colour canker, really, not good.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
We really don't know what we're talking about, but have a Google.
No, but Simon does.
Simon does, so we'll talk to Simon.
I think that's what we ought to do, Joe, here, is stop this nonsense and actually talk to someone who knows what on earth they're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Simon, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about you and a little bit about your business? And I know you've had an interesting journey with your business, and I want to explore that a bit, if we may.
Absolutely. Simple Life is where my business is at right now. We've been working hard the last couple of years to get where we are and to become what I believe is an absolutely fantastic and seriously exciting business to be in and to be a part of. the reason that we changed, if you like, we started about 12 years ago. We were in Deal, and we were just general handymen. There were just three of us, and we were all good at our game. Mm-hmm. We would pass work between each other, between ourselves. We knew each other, and it was great. We were, if you like, big fish in a small pond.
Collaborating and doing stuff together. Absolutely.
And then after a number of years, and this is unqualified, but it kind of felt like when Pfizer kind of demised from the area, there was all of a sudden an awful lot of handymen. And as Joe said earlier, VAs.
Yeah.
VAs weren't an issue, but the handymen side of things, we were seeing a lot of people doing some really not good stuff.
Sure.
To be polite. And I was becoming really uncomfortable with the word handyman. It was picking up connotations that I didn't like.
Sure.
So Simple Life, if you like, evolved in the first place from that. And as a combination of the three main professional parts of my life, I spent a long time in education, both behind the scenes and in the front line. And I also worked for the RSPB. Now, I worked out quite quickly within education that I'm a really, really good team player as long as one criteria is fulfilled. That's that I'm running the team.
Right, okay, yeah.
So...
Yeah. There is no I in team, but there is an M and an E.
Absolutely. And after a while, myself and education, to a large extent, parted ways, and most of the education I was involved with was with the RSPB. Hence the reason I've been coming through the marsh for ages. I was based at Dungeness and working in schools. The education and the RSPB, in a certain style, came to an end last year, which left me with the business that I was, if you like, reinventing. I thought, well, let's just put all three elements that have been a part of my life into one basket. Let's make them one thing with a really clear message. So we're now focusing on, well, our tagline is wildlife-friendly garden design and consultancy. And we're looking to try and get people to reconnect, to use and understand nature and the wildlife as a fantastic restorative, as a regenerative, as somewhere to just get out of that stressful place that we're quite often evolving in or living in. And if we can actually get people to have that kind of space right in their own garden, then that would be absolutely fantastic. And that needs to happen in two or three ways. In the first place, we need to be able to talk to people. We need to actually get people to listen. So I spend a lot of time now talking with local interest groups. I've done workshops with the Brownies. I've been asked to go talk to the Scouts. We do a lot with the WI, which is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm also working with the Kent Wildlife Trust, where we are corporate members. And with all the talking we're doing with the local interest groups, ultimately, all I'm looking for is a tenner to cover my cost, and everything else is a contribution to the Kent Wildlife Trust. It's a fantastic organisation to be involved with and to work with. So, again, which has helped pushing that wildlife thing into people's awareness, into their kind of mental space. But when we've done that, we need to then be able to say, well, okay, you'd like to have something in your garden, in your house, in your place. Let's talk to you. Let's look at what you've got. Let's look at what you want to have in there. Let's look at the ways we can bring wildlife in. And I mean, bring it in right from the get-go. So it's not tacked on. It's not an add-on. It's right. Something that you think about right from the minute you start designing that garden.
Okay. So let's step through this and look at how we do it. So I give you a call and I go, Simon, come over here. I need you.
Good.
Is that what your customers usually say?
Yeah, of course they do. Give us a flavour for the average kind of garden and what you mean by introducing wildlife into it, you know, because we all have, you know, bits of wildlife that frequent the garden occasionally, you know, birds that eat the bacon rind and, you know, the occasional rabbit that hops through and eats your plants and what have you. But, you know, so what does it mean to you, having a wildlife presence?
Wildlife presence is two things. I've just talked about what I think it should be for us, for people as homeowners, garden owners. I think it's the kind of thing that we actually need. But there's an awful lot of the wildlife out there at the moment that is potentially in crisis.
Right.
There are, for the first example, sparrows. We've all seen, experienced, known sparrows. Sparrow flocks, when I was a kid, was 20 to 30 birds in a flock.
Yeah.
Okay. These days, they tend to be 8 to 10 to 12, which is a dramatic fall. Now, if we provide the right food, the right plants and environment, then even within our own little spaces, we can put those numbers back to where they should be. The flock in my own back garden is currently somewhere between 20 and 25. I don't know how many because they keep moving so fast. I cannot count them. But have you ever just watched a big flock of sparrows? There is more politics in a flock of sparrows than in the run-up to the average general election.
Right.
I mean, if you've ever been into a staff room, everyone wants to have their favourite seat, yeah? Well, if you put up a feeder for sparrows, they all want the same perch.
Right, okay.
Okay, and depending on where their rank is, they're knocking each other off. So there could be three that are completely abandoned. So that's just birds. One example. Bees are another huge example. When I was at Dungeness, we did a lot of work with the Bee Conservancy people. We were bringing short-toed bees from New Zealand over to Dungeness. They were bringing them in from Holland because, unfortunately, the poor old bees weren't doing that well coming from New Zealand. We've got the habitats, but bee numbers are falling.
Right.
And the real, if you really take that to an extreme, if bees go, 50 years later, we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to do, and there are, we know how to put in the relevant means to bring the bees into your gardens. And when you've got them there, what is more fantastic in a summer's evening than the buzz and the life and the vibrancy of insects and life around you?
Absolutely. Can I ask you at that point, when you talk about introducing something like bees in, are you talking about doing that in a structured way? So you arrive one day with a beehive and stick it in the middle of the garden, and you've got a bag of bees that you take with you, and you kind of
bee seeds.
Bee seeds, and you plant them and they grow. And see, I'm into this kind of thing. Or are you talking about setting up something that will attract wild bees into your garden, or both indeed?
I have to confess, I have no knowledge of setting up bees in a hive. Or even planting them as seeds. Wouldn't that be just so cool?
It can be done.
We could just sort the whole world's problems. You know, just have some bee seeds, birds. I mean, we have bird seed, but it's the wrong.
That's what threw me. I bought a bag of bird seed and I planted it, and you know, there were nothing came out. Just these silly flowers.
Flowers aren't nothing.
But I was expecting birds.
We're getting slightly off context Focus. What I'm looking to do is to bring in the bees and the birds that are out there, and bringing them in, giving them the food that they need, the places to live, if you like.
I saw something on Facebook the other day. Does this work? Bees to drink without drowning. You put a little dish and you put marbles in and then put water in, and then they can land on the marble and drink without drowning. Is that true, or is it just a myth?
It's just a marble salesman's way of getting.
Well, ultimately, I have to go, I don't know. I don't know. If we'd have to, set up
I mean, marbles, to be fair, try and expand. And your expertise is flowers.
We put up on Facebook, I got a message come through from a friend, and there's a certain retailer out there of foods and that kind of stuff, and they were selling bee and insect hotels. They look really good, and they were just £3.49,
right?
And that would just give you bees
and hotel.
Bee
hotel.
Would that be a B&B?
There could be so many bees.
Could be a bee.
That's quite good for you, Paul.
I was really well. I was quite chuffed with that.
Well, afternoon entertainment.
I'd like the idea of a bee hotel, though. I'll have to check that out.
Absolutely.
And again, you don't have to. You can make them. There are an awful lot of the activities you can do to give wildlife a home in your garden.
Absolutely.
Are fantastic family activities that you can get involved with your kids. With your relatives, kids, make sure that they are okay with parents. But there's an awful lot of family activities that you can do just to learn and to some of the things in bed. I mean, pond dipping is, every kid loves pond dipping.
What's pond dipping?
Pond dipping is you get a small net, which again you can buy in a shop, or you could make out of some tights and a coat hanger, should you wish to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically going to find the wildlife that is in the pond. Mm. And you will find there are loads of beetles, there are dragonflies, damselflies, mayflies. All of these creatures spend half their life, about 80% of their life, in the water. There
crested newts I've got in mind.
Crested newts.
Mm. We saw loads of frogs or toads or something up at Brock Hill, like swimming around, like
absolutely,
tons of them. Yeah,
absolutely. Really cool. There are so many animals that need water to live in, to drink. Hedgehogs is one we've been talking about a huge amount just lately, which is why if you go and look at our Facebook feed, people put hedgehog videos on there. We put hedgehog videos on there. Hedgehogs can swim.
Yeah,
they're not bad at swimming. Mm. They're absolutely rubbish at getting out.
Right.
So you need to do, if you've got a pond and it's got steep edges, you need to put in a slope so that they can get. And, you know, frogs can drown too.
Mm.
They might live a lot in the water, but if they can't get out and they're very tired, they can drown.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
But you're absolutely right. I've got a large pond in my garden, a wild natural pond. You're absolutely right. The amount of wildlife that it attracts is unbelievable. You know, I've got things that you don't see very often in other people's gardens. I've got slow worms, and it attracts them into the garden because they lay in the shallow bits of the pool, especially during the summer. I've got frogs and toads and crested newts and all that kind of thing. I've got a heron. The only trouble with a heron was it ate all the fish, which was a bit of a nuisance because I actually populated the pond with some green tench, but the heron had all of them. But, you know, real wildlife that gathers around that pond is unbelievable because the water attracts them in. You know, they want to drink and they want to swim and they want to cool down and stuff like that.
If you had any elephants.
I've had no elephants. I'll tell you what I have got in a moment, though, living in my garden that moved in the other day is a badger set.
Ah, yeah. Funny you should say that. Little Doddy's writing a project about badgers this very week.
Well, I've got a badger that wanders around my garden
at
the moment.
Can you send her a picture, a photo?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Simon.
So, you were interesting. I was just listening.
No, we're here to talk to you because you're far more interesting about this. So what's the kind of thing, if you take an average kind of suburban or semi-suburban household, what's the kind of thing that we should be looking to do to attract more wildlife into our gardens?
The first thing that I would always think about on if I've got a completely blank canvas is, can we get a pond in this garden?
Yeah.
Because if we need to work out where that's going to be. But one of the things we also do straight away is we look to see where the sun is coming up and where the sun is going down, because that will have a dramatic effect on where we put anything for wildlife. I mean, just for example, how many people actually want a north wind blowing right in their front door?
Mm.
You know? Or the east wind, the lazy one. You know, the one that doesn't go round you, it goes straight through you.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So if you look at where the sun is, and that will give you all the orientations that you need. And if you remember I was saying earlier about thinking about wildlife from the get-go, if you've got decking, for example, you've got a huge amount of space, which you're doing nothing with.
Mm.
So if you actually think, okay, we've got some decking here, so we could be making a home in here for hedgehogs. We could be putting in tubing, bedding, materials that any kind of wildlife can get in and use for shelter or for protection. Again, if we're putting up any buildings, we can look at the orientations and tie those all in to the weather. I have to confess, I tend to find most of the time when we go in, people actually know what they want. They need a conduit to get what they want to become a reality.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I tend to do is to actually let them talk as much as possible and then use what we know about the wildlife and what we know about animals and try and marry the two together. Mm. Because ultimately, much as we would like them to have as much wildlife in their garden as possible, they still need to have a garden that they actually want to be in.
Yeah, you don't want herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically across your patio, do you?
Well, it would be a major achievement, actually, in this country. There obviously, we are, like any business, we like to set ourselves targets and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I have to confess, that one hasn't yet got there, but by God, that would be a success story because they'd have to get over the sea.
Yeah, they'd have to swim all the way from Africa. That would be a major accomplishment. The nearest thing, actually, I was attacked in the lane where I used to live a few years ago by a wild boar.
Really?
It was a sow, and she had some piglets, and of course they get a bit fruity when they've just delivered a litter. And I was with the local farmer, and we were just driving down the lane in his Land Rover, and this boar took exception to us, and she ran at us sideways on and hit the side of the Land Rover, a whacking great dent in it.
Wow.
A 600-pound wild pig is no laughing matter.
They're pretty solid, aren't they?
Yeah. But we have quite a few of those where I live. I live in Tenterton, and the Rare Breed Centre used to have loads of things. And back in the 87 storm, a lot of them got out. And, of course, that area of woodland is natural habitat for things like boars. So there's actually a huge herd of wild boar that kind of march around the countryside there. But not wildebeest so far.
No.
Yeah. Lions. Yeah, got lions. Yeah, no wildebeest. So. anyway, enough of my silliness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about numbers.
Well, that's why the wildebeest are gone, because of the lion. No, yeah. I'm being silly now.
No.
So, Simon, you're trying to encourage people to have more wildlife in their gardens. A lot of people are starting to think about this kind of thing now. How can people find out more about what they do and how to do it and why you do it and all those kind of things?
Several different ways. I mean, in the first one, I mentioned the Kent Wildlife Trust. They've got a 30 Wild Things in June event coming up, which is actually a challenge for people to try and find something different outside in the wild that they could do every day.
Mm.
If you come on to our website, which is simplelifelimited.co.uk. There's videos, various bits and pieces. There are links to our YouTube channel, which is slowly beginning to fill up.
Right.
Obviously, and our Facebook page is blossoming.
Right.
Blooming.
Oh, yeah. Some top pun in there.
I know. I got the first one, and I thought there's got to be more. Keep going. Thanks to the top of the Facebook page, there's Facebook, I think it's .com/simple. Anyway, you've typed Simple Life into Facebook. I'm not a social media person. I get somebody else to do that for me.
Yeah.
But the tank to the top is our free ebook, 24 Ways to Bring Wildlife into Your Garden.
Brilliant.
And if you follow the link on there, then you can download that ebook. All it will cost you is your email address. And that will certainly get you very well and truly on the road and started. You can also get hold of us through Twitter. And phone us up and receive our newsletters. Or just type wildlife into Google. Actually.
Simple Life, yeah. So your website is simplelife.co.uk.
Simple Life Limited, LTD.
Simplelifelimited.co.uk.
Yep.
And there is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website if you want to find it. The Twitter handle is simplelife1, I think. And then Facebook will be facebook.com/simplelife. But if you go through the website, you can find all the other resources,
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. One thing I will say. Okay, the first three people that email us after this show and put in the email the two words Carder and B will be entitled to a free consultation, which would normally cost you £100.
Right.
That's free. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll get in touch and we'll arrange something. Okay, that's the first three people that email us and include in that email the words Carder and B.
Carder.
Okay? Carder, C-A-R-D-E-R, and B, obviously not B&B, but just B.
B, B-double-E.
And what's the email again?
Email is hello@simplelifelimited, that's L-T-D, .co.uk. That's hello@simplelifelimited.co.uk.
Carder B.
Brilliant.
In the email, in the subject line.
In the subject, even just mention the fact that you were listening on the radio and you stayed listening, and Carder B is the words. As long as there's a reference to the show and Carder B, then we're not going to be picky.
Good.
Lovely.
Good stuff. Simon, thank you so much for that. Fascinating topic. I'm going to get you to come and look at my garden. I think you might enjoy some of it. I've got quite a large garden with quite a wild area there. Because I've got...
Other people would say unkempt, but you use wild because it sounds posher.
Yeah, well, you see, one of the things I like about Simon is he's provided me with the ultimate excuse for not maintaining my garden. I go, no. No, what you understand is it wasn't I didn't mow the lawn. It's a meadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ultimately,
yeah.
It is a balance. You see, the best wildlife gardens are actually the ones where people have done nothing to them at all. It's finding that line between people having a place that they like and the wildlife. And it sounds to me like you probably have got the most fantastic wildlife garden.
Yeah, I have. I'm really lucky because I've got a big, big natural pond, and I've got a bluebell wood that's part of my garden as well, which is where the badger lives.
No, as usual, you're showing off again.
but you know, it does, as you say, the pond especially attracts an awful lot of different, you know, not just water-based wildlife, but all kinds of wildlife come towards that pond because it's a resource for them.
We've just had a call a couple of weeks ago from a gentleman, and he's actually got 4 acres he's looking to develop into a wildlife supporting area.
Exciting.
And after me and I went in the first time, and I thought, it's big, and took a little time to restock and actually think about it. But the fact that it's big is no different at all. Instead of putting in a pond that's a couple of metres in diameter, let's go put in a pond that's 20 or 30 metres in diameter. You know, and
isn't that called a lake?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, you know, but again, and we can take an area that can then become a meadow, and we can look at putting in a bit of orchard, keeping the planting simple. He's got a lovely area that is secluded and a sun trap, which we can then, and where that sun trap is, we then, okay, say let's build some walls, block out the east wind and the north wind. We could take those walls, make them look like a derelict farm building or a collapsed abbey. We then look at where the sun is, and we put in this lake. So you sit there having your barbecue with the sun coming across a lake, which is rippling, with a meadow to the side. Can you see this?
I can. I'm glad you got to this, because that really does help to describe what you do. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And it's just so exciting.
Yeah, it sounds...
I was going to show you a picture of my pond, which I had on my phone.
Great for radio.
No, but then I was going to tweet it out.
Oh, okay.
But then I suddenly realised I had a clean-up on my phone because it was running out of steam, and I thought... No one will want to see that, so I deleted it.
We were going to get into that kind of the snooker ball colours on the black and white telly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Can I give you another wildlife reference, which is quite exciting at this precise moment?
Yeah, go on.
If you go onto Google and Google St. Augustine's School Hive Bird Box, you can click on it and it shows you the camera that's live in the bird box and the blue tits have got babies in there at the moment, so there's little chicks and they're like tweeting. Well, you can't hear the tweeting, you can see the tweeting, and it's very exciting, and little Dodsy rushes home every day from school to have a look and see what they're up to.
There's a little bit of trivia for little Dodsy, because blue tits used to be called Picardies.
Picardies. I know a song with Picardy in it, actually. That's probably about them.
Did you have Picardies in your garden?
Picardy.
Yes, I did, and I know what they are.
Sweet Picardy. I'm going to look up that song now. Yes.
Simon, thank you so much for that. A fascinating look at bringing wildlife into your garden, and thank you so much for that. And it's important. It's important that we maintain that, and especially bees and birds and the natural birds and the natural wildlife for this country. So, Simon... of Simple Life Limited, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, welcome.
We got quite a load more tweets. We got quite a few emails. We got some more guests to talk to. I've had a tweet from Red Apple Thinking, and their Twitter handle is Think Red Apple. And they say, "Hi, Paul, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker. Could you give us a shout out for Red Apple Thinking? I have just done so." I don't know what Red Apple Thinking do, because I haven't clicked on them, but if you give them a follow at Think Red Apple, you can find out. And I've also had a tweet from Vicky BT Associates, who are Safe Well Green on the Twitter, Safe Well Green, and they say, "Hi Paul, hi Business Bunker, any chance of a mention for our new Future First Aiders campaign?" So they're teaching people the first steps towards first aid, and you can find out about it by going to their website, which is vbassociates.co.uk, and then if you put /5T0 500. You can go to their page on Future First Aiders. Let me give you that again. It's vbassociates.co.uk/5500. So do check that out and have a look.
I've got a tweet here. Can I read this?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
From Samsian Gas, and it's a testimonial for Simon.
And oh, is it?
It's from somebody called Jan Hodge, and it says, if you're looking for a handyman, you can do no better than use Simon Pollard. Why? Number one, his prices are very affordable. Number two, oh, he's blushing now. He turns up at the time of day he says he's going to. Number three.
Hold on. A tradesman with a calendar.
I know, that's what you said that, earlier.
I told you about that testimony earlier, didn't I? Yeah. Knows how to operate a diary.
Number three, his work is of a very good standard. Definitely not a bodger, which is always good to know.
And coming from Danny at Samsung Gas, that is big stuff, because Danny's one of the biggest haters of bodgers in the world.
And number four, friendly and informative. If you ask him about lemon trees.
Five's important, though.
Yeah. And yeah, number five, the tip is give lots of tea.
Tea. He's tea driven.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you for that, Danny.
On arrival.
Samsung Gas, heating engineers to the aristocracy and everyone else. Thanks, Danny. I've had a tweet from Celia Glynn Williams. On the Twitter, she says, a Vanilla Web Business Bunker, I'd love a shout-out, please, for the Herne Bay Expo, Wednesday, the 12th of May, at the King's Hall. There are over 50 businesses and local community organisations under one roof. Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure, Celia. So that's the Herne Bay Business Expo on Wednesday, the 12th of May. Haven't we missed that? And she only tweeted it this morning.
Yes, the 12th of May was last week.
Yeah, maybe Saturday. I've misunderstood. It says Wednesday 12/5, and I assume that was 12th of May.
Maybe it's the 5th of December. That would be too early, wouldn't
Wednesday
it?
Wednesday was the 11th.
But she only tweeted it to me this morning, I'm not sure. I tell you what, the easiest thing to do is to find out by following Celia on the Twitter. And her Twitter handle is CELIAGW, Celia GW. I'm assuming that the date's wrong in that tweet, is what I'm assuming. So do follow her and find out what the real date is of that event. We've also had a tweet from Magpie Laura, who says, can I have a shout out? And her Twitter handle is Like a Magpie. There you go, then.
That's a good one, isn't it?
So she's black and white, presumably. I had a tweet from Lisa Settle. Had a tweet from the fabulous Gaz at Paul's Radio.
Ah, so is Lisa listening then? Because there was a lady, wasn't it? I had an email. Shall I just read that now?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so apparently this is somebody you know. So Kent-based Aliza Manicardi is studying for an MSc in management with the University of South Wales. And she's currently working on her dissertation and looking for a few companies that would be willing to assist with her research. She's looking at corporate values and the impact it has on employees. And Aliza is interested in speaking to companies ranging from those with no set values to those with strong set values. Do you know of a London or Kent-based company that might be happy to get involved? If any interested parties could contact the bunker, we can put you in touch with Aliza. But you said, I think it was Lisa Settle that this
Lisa
connection
Settle.
Was
yeah.
with. And yeah. Lisa, get in contact with me because I work with the Engage for Success movement, and I'm sure I can find you some people through that look at this sort of stuff or do or don't, depending on the criteria.
Fabulous. Thank you for that, Joe. We've had a tweet from Dad.
Dad?
Apparently. Dad.
Your dad?
Yeah, no.
Won't
just,
be my dad.
Just Dad. And that's their Twitter handle is Dover Arts. I don't know what the other D stands for, but it's Dover Arts. And they say, could we have a shout-out, please? White Cliffs Country, Inspiration Equals Dover, a concert and exhibition, Friday the 20th of May 2016, Maison Dieu, Dover. And that's all it says. So I suggest you follow them, Dover Arts, on the Twitter and find out some more about that concert and exhibition that is taking place on Friday. And the Federation of Small Business, Andrew Knott, A-Knott20 on the Twitter, A-K-N-O-T-T-20 on the Twitter. Hi, Paul. Could we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please? Free business banking for life for FSB members. If you want more information, call Andrew Knott on 07747114627 or follow him on the Twitter at A-Knott20. So thank you for that. And Cars from Kent, hi VanillaWeb, hi Joe Dodds, hi Business Bunker. Can we have a shout out, please? If you want to buy or sell your car locally in Kent, carsfromkent.com. Cheers.
As simple as that. Do you want to do another email, Jo?
Yeah, I will. I'll do one about Create. Don't forget to grab your tickets for Create. Once they're gone, they're gone, apparently. It's on 26th of May, 6:30 to 9:30. And it's at Fruitworks in Canterbury. First up is Lucy Milton, who will be sharing her experience with starting a podcast, the whys and hows of podcasting, and hopefully give you some inspiration to get started yourself. And then they've got Carlton Walls, who will be talking about the variety of different ways to use video to engage your audience. And last but definitely not least, they have John Hippisley, known for his Canterbury Ghost Tours.
He is indeed.
Who will be sharing how you can get your book published on Amazon with the minimum of fuss, plus the importance of spell and copy checking, copywriting and cover design. So you can find out more at fruitworks.co/create.
I have to tell you, John is one of the funniest men I've ever met. I mean, he's just so funny. He's unbelievable. His ghost tours are brilliant. He's not doing ghost tours at all. He's doing self-publishing.
Yes.
But he's hilarious. He really is a funny, funny man.
I keep meaning to go to one of those again. I haven't been for ages, and they look so
brilliant.
Good.
They
but
are
I never
brilliant.
Get organised enough. So
they are really brilliant.
They are, aren't they?
Business Growth, the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce Business Growth Series with Andrew Priestley. Ideal for established businesses, there is a UK-wide emphasis on business growth. In addition to offering regular one-to-one guest speakers, we have created Business Growth Series, especially for established business owners who have expressed strong interest in a structured business development program. And there's a number of sessions taking place over a period of time. And the sessions are Friday the 20th of May, Friday the 24th of June, Friday the 29th of July, Friday the 26th of August, Friday the 30th of September, and Friday the 21st of October. So by my reckoning, that will be the last Friday in every month for the next 6 months. You can find out more about it by going to the Kent and Victor Chamber .co.uk website. And just before we have the mid-show break, I want to mention this, some exciting breaking news that has just come in on my telling phone. I've had an email. Where's it gone?
Did you say telling phone?
My telling phone.
Is that a different
yeah.
type of telling?
Yeah. Yeah. oh, where's it gone? I can't find it. I can't find it.
This is like me. It's like me when I don't know what I'm going to talk about next. I'll just fill in, shall I?
No, no. I know what it was. It was the B2B Kent.
oh, I know what it was. I saw it on Twitter.
Did you? yeah, they probably put it on Twitter. On B2B Kent, the next B2B Kent is taking place. The B2B North Kent event is taking place at Butmore Park, the go-kart track. And they've got a headline speaker. And that headline speaker is the owner of said Butmore Park, one Mr. John Surtees, CBE, one of the few men in the world to be both world champion at motorcycle racing and at Formula One, and the current owner of Butmore Park. He will be the headline speaker, and therefore he will be coming on the Business Bunker show to talk to us. So we're all very, very excited.
He looks very cute in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He's over 80, isn't he?
He's over 80,
say,
yeah.
And he's in a... Mm-hmm. Motorcycling, motor racing car of some description. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. No, absolutely. So we're really excited about that. We're going to be hearing from John Surtees himself.
Lovely.
Former world motorcycle champion and Formula One race car driver. Very few people have ever achieved that. I think he might even be the only one. Yeah, he's the only one. Mike Howard got close, didn't he? But I think he's the only one that ever won both world championships. So fantastic stuff. Do you know what now, though, Joe? I've got even cheesier music than last time.
Have you?
Yeah, cheesy tunage I've got.
Is this our next guest as well or not?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It is.
I'm just thinking what it might be.
Well,
who let the dogs out? who let the dogs out? Was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey, yeah. V-I-O.
And everybody having a ball.
Hey, hey. V-I-O.
Until the fellas start the name calling.
V-I-O.